Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. This truly is a day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us bless His holy name. Let us approach the throne of grace. Father God, we thank You once again for allowing us to come into Your presence for the study of Your Word. We pray now, O Father, that You would just bless our hearts, enrich our lives, Father, by the truth of Your Word. Conform us to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ, which is Your ultimate goal, to make us Christ-like. We pray now, Father, for the lost. We pray, Lord, especially for the downtrodden. We pray for those who are sick and shut in, Father, those who are incarcerated. We ask, Lord, simply that Your will be done. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for His name's sake. Amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, last week we just finished up chapter 7. We're in a study of the book of Acts, and we were talking about Stephen, one of the church's first deacons, and how he was persecuted and put to death because of his beliefs. They charged him with blaspheming the word, the God and the temple, yet Stephen, in his defense, didn't actually defend himself, but gave a total history of the nation of Israel. And as we seen last week, the last thing that Stephen did as they were stoning him to death was to call on the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive those who were stoning him to death. What a powerful, powerful testimony. You know, heaven is our home and heaven is our hope, and heaven is our supreme confidence in where God is going to take us and receive us. Stephen had called on the Lord. Stephen had called for Jesus Christ to receive his spirit. Stephen was going to be with Jesus. Amen? Amen. And there's a special thing about the death of a saint. There was a believer's, this believer's peaceful departure. The Bible says he fell asleep. Well, this week we're going to begin in chapter 8, and we're going to see how the hand of the Lord is really moving as His church now in its infancy is beginning to grow. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at the time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. So we see persecution was launched by this inflamed man, Saul of Tarsus. The word consenting or approving means to give full consent of the will, to willfully approve, to approve with pleasure, to delight in, to applaud that which is being done. Galatians 1:13-14 says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in the past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." And then he states in Philippians 3:4-6, he says, "If any other man thinketh that he whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law." So the persecution was launched quickly on the very day of Stephen's death. They didn't waste any time to start the persecution, because the word said at that time. It meant this very same day. Persecution was launched in fury and in violence. Because the phrase that is used by the Bible is the great persecution. Verse 2, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering to every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." So it says that these men that witnessed the stoning of Stephen, we don't have much information on them. Some commentators said that they may have been believers. Some said they may have not, just very close to Stephen. Whatever they were deeply disturbed over the death of Stephen, because it said they made great lamentation. They wailed and wept. They were filled and overwhelmed with sorrow. Now we find that the church is being severely persecuted. This Saul of Tarsus, he stormed the homes of believers. He arrested all he could. He arrested women as well as men. He did not care what your gender was. If you were a believer in Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus would be hot on your trail, because the Bible said he committed them to prison. He binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And that comes from Acts 22, verse 4. We find that Acts 9, 1 and 2 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he be found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them in bond into Jerusalem." So we can see now that Saul did not care about gender. All he cared about was destroying this entity called the Way, that he believed was now a threat to Judaism. Let's look at verse 4. "Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word." Now, this is another instance of how God uses adversity to bring about betterment, to bring about the things that we can glory in. Now, remember, way back in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "Ye shall be my witnesses." And yet when the church in Jerusalem began to grow, the church got complacent in this matter, that it decided that it didn't need to go anywhere. But God allowed his church to be persecuted so the word could spread, because if he didn't allow the persecution, the church would have just stayed in Jerusalem and said, "Hey, everything is going well. Everything is fine. We're doing pretty good. Our ministry is going pretty strong. Hey, we have believers joining us. Where do we need to go anywhere?" But the Lord had a plan. He wanted his word to be taken to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's why I say many times that if we really understood the word of God and what God requires of us, our churches today would be busy evangelizing the communities that surround us, the states that surround us, the world that surrounds us. Pardon me, but we don't seem to be too concerned about anything other than within the four walls of our church. So sometimes God allows these things. Remember, I told you a few programs ago about what he did with the family of Joseph, 75 members, but he had given a promise to Father Abraham that he would be a father of a great nation. And God took those 75 people and made them into a nation of millions, but he had to allow bondage to take place so they would be held in one spot, so they would grow to that present time where they were large enough in numbers that he brought them out of Egypt as a nation. He didn't just bring them out of Egypt. He brought them out of Egypt as a nation. And now God is allowing this infant church in Jerusalem to be persecuted, because he's bringing his church out of Jerusalem to the uttermost parts of the earth. Believers were scattered abroad, dispersed, scattered about just as seed is sown and scattered throughout a field. He wanted his word to go to every kindred and tongue. He wanted everybody to be able to hear the gospel message. And in this day and age, there are still countries that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we want to expedite Jesus' coming again, then we need to be busy about evangelism. The great purpose and the result of the persecution was to spread the gospel. God uses persecution. I know that's not a real comforting thought, but God does use persecution in order to grow his church. Let's read a little further. "Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed." So we find now here is another deacon, a layman to use that kind of a term, that was not an ordained preacher, but yet was proclaiming the word of God. And I tell you this much. So many times we get hung up on the titles and the positions, But every child of God is called by God to proclaim the word of God. You ought to be prepared and ready for God to use you to proclaim the word of God. This is not just a preacher pastor thing. This is an all-inclusive thing that all of us are called to tell someone about Jesus Christ. So Philip the preacher, a layman, was one of the first deacons, and it's important to note that the first great evangelistic thrust outside of Jerusalem was carried out by a layman. So sometimes the church has to understand that everybody is a composite of the body of Christ, and all of us as one body but many members are all inclusive and all important. Let's read a little further. And when the people of one accord gave heed to these things which Philip spake, I read this verse 6, but I want to make a point. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, I like what the Preacher Sermon Outline Bible says about this verse. It talks about revival. And we find that there are two essential things for revival. Number one, people must be of one accord, of one mind and spirit, and purpose. Number two, people must give heed, keep their minds and hearts upon the message. Today, we have embraced what I might call a social gospel. We have to remember that we are called to tell and compel men and women, boys and girls, about salvation through their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 13:23, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's Matthew 13:16, 13:23 says, but he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to have to stop right here. And we'll pick this up again next week. But as I've always been saying, please visit us on our website, www.smbcmesa.org. Pray for me as I pray for you this week. I hope you have a blessed week. Tune in again next week as we go further into the study of the Word of God. May the God richly bless your life. I love you in the Lord, and I hope you love me. God bless, and see you again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.